is a commercial-free, streaming-on-demand presentation from 92.9 WBPM.
What words come to mind when you think of the Allman Brothers Band? Original? Inventive? Star-crossed? Live shows that were legendary? The creators of the jam band? All of the above? Well, how about a description of their music from one of the brothers, Greg Allman?
I would call it Allman Brothers music because, you know, like Fingerprints, is one of a kind. But if I had to put it in terms, I'd call it honest rock and roll blues jazz fusion. How about that? It's got the twin guitars, of course. I guess if you were going to put it down in formula, it'd be three parts blues, half a part country, and one part jazz, and stir it up. There you go.
This year, the fans and surviving members of the Allman Brothers Band celebrate the group's 50th anniversary. Dickie Betts.
We get challenged by our past selves, it seems like, more than the Grateful Dead or Carlos Santana or Eric Clapton or Little Feat. It seems to be we're put on a measuring block by the things that we ourselves have done, which is nice. You know, the band has a great long history, which at this point in the game, I kind of have to take an outside look and acknowledge that, you know, and appreciate it, just like as if I was a fan looking at the old days of the Allman Brothers Band.
Butch Trucks.
And I ran into these guys in Jacksonville. There it was. I mean, that's what I found when we first started playing, was that spiritual side of music. And that's every night. That's what we go after. And it's like when you don't get it, it's like having sex and not getting off. You know, there is a disappointment because that's what you're after. You're after that turning loose, that cleansing, that revitalization, that, you know, all those things that come when you can do this. It's a very intense feeling, you know, and that's what we're after.
Dwayne Allman.
Music's become intellectualized and everything. Man, music is fun, you know. It's not supposed to be any heavy, deep, intense thing, man, especially not rock music, man. That's to set you free, man. Anybody ever listen to Chuck Berry, man, or any of them cats knows that.
As of February 28th, the Allman Brothers Band, along with Island Mercury UME, celebrate the 50th anniversary with a massive career-spanning retrospective called Trouble No More. It's available as a 10-LP deluxe vinyl box, a 5-CD set, and digitally. All remastered to perfection. Warren Haynes, one of the brothers who helped in the creation of the box set.
It kind of came together pretty smoothly. I was not concerned, but hopeful that we would be able to capture all the highlights because there were so many, and including the later day ones. But I think it worked out fine. It's the right time, right way to do it.
Trouble No More collects a half century of classics, live performances, rarities, and seven previously unreleased tracks, including the band's very first recording, their original 1969 demo of Trouble No More. Greg Allman.
I got there and they played Trouble No More, the first song they played for me. And they had the set of lyrics laying there on the table. And it just blew me away, man. I just leaned against the wall and went, oh, God. Because I didn't really think that I could cut it, you know. And I saw him with that bottle on that guitar. I mean, it just, Jesus Christ. It gives me an idea, like, how some people feel when they first see the Allman Brothers. I mean, I was jazzed. And I pulled him over the side and I said, I'm not sure if you got the right guy here. And, like, he pushed me, you know, and he said, you little punk. You know, and he said, I told all these people about you, you know. And he said, you little asshole. I mean, he embarrassed me in front of them and really pissed me off. And I snatched them damn lyrics up off the table and I said, count this booger off. And I wailed it, man. And the band was formed.
Hi, I'm Dan Neer. While it's impossible to have a thorough romp through the Allman Brothers Band's music in 1 hour, we're going to cram in as much of this sumptuous new five-decade career-spanning collection as we can and visit some highlights in the words of Dwayne Allman, Greg Allman, Butch Trucks, Dickie Betts, J-Mo, Chuck LaBelle, and Warren Haynes.
Hi, I'm Warren Haynes. Join the celebration of 50 years of amazing music. Welcome to the Allman Brothers Band. Trouble No More, all access.
Just keep on betting that the dice won't pass.
combination of the first and last songs on the Allman Brothers Band's new box set, Trouble No More. Part of their first demo, and then part of the last song performed at their farewell concert at the Beacon Theater in 2014. Dwayne and Greg Allman formed their first bands in Daytona Beach, Florida, and eventually got signed to Liberty Records in Los Angeles as the Hourglass. The record company tried to mold them into a pop band, which meant not playing live very much. After recording two albums with his brother, Dwayne hated the whole scene and split to become a session player at Fame Studios in Muscle Shoals, Alabama. He would shoot down to Jacksonville, Florida to jam with other local bands, including the 31st of February featuring Butch Trux and The Second Coming featuring Dickie Betts and Barry Oakley. Here's Butch and Dickie.
We were in a house over at The Second Coming's house one afternoon and had two sets of drums there. And J-Mo started playing and I was playing and Dickie was playing and Dwayne and Barry Oakley and Reese Wyman. And we started a shuffle and about 3 hours later we quit. And Dwayne went to the door and said, anybody in this room not going to play in my band, you have to fight your way out of here.
Yeah, I think originally Phil Walden's idea of dealing with Dwayne as an artist was a trio. Barry Oakley and Dwayne Allman and J-Mo. And so when Dwayne came to Jacksonville, he left with six of us instead of a three-piece band.
To complete the band, Dwayne called his brother Greg, who was still in California and still suffering under the Liberty Records contract.
My brother called me. It was March 26th. I'll never forget it. And after about a year of being out there, you know, and being so far from home and everybody, it got to be such a drag. And I mean, he called me that day. He sent me a ticket, and I put this ticket in my back pocket and I hitchhiked. Got a damn ride from San Bernardino Freeway all the way to Jacksonville, Florida. And the guy that gave me a ride was a bass player, and he kept asking me all the way, man, you think I can get a job? You know, I said, wait a minute, I don't know if I got a job or not, you know. And we get there, and my brother said, thanks for bringing my little brother home, man. Bam, and he slams the door in his face. I said, wait a minute, bro. You can at least, you know, offer him some water or something.
Greg wrote a boatload of outstanding songs for the new group, one of which became a signature song for their entire career, Whipping Post.
Everybody was easy to work with, and I'd stayed over at Oakley's house that night. And I got up one morning, you know, and his wife fixes a couple of eggs. And I said, man, could you give me an intro? And he just clicks on his amp and goes, right. And I said, that's great. But that afternoon, we went down to the recording studio, or to the rehearsal studio, and by sundown that night, that song was finished.
I've been run down, and I've been lied to, and I don't know why I let that mean woman make me a fool. She took all my money, wrecked my new car. She's with one of my good time buddies. They're drinking in some crosstown bar. Sometimes I feel. I'm dying. I've been such a fool, and I had to stand by and take it, baby. Oh, for loving you, I drown myself in sorrow as I look at what you've done. But nothing seems to change, the bad times stay the same, and I can't run. Sometimes I feel, sometimes I feel like I've been blind to the whipping post, blind to the whipping post, blind to the whipping post. Good Lord, I feel like I'm dying.
Post from the career-spanning box set Trouble No More by the Allman Brothers Band. It was originally found in their amazing self-titled debut, which didn't sell too well when it was first released in 1969.
I'll have to take some of the credit for this, because the idea was like, okay, now we got this band, and we got a bunch of new songs, and stuff sounds good, but stuff has to grow on people, man, you know? They ain't just gonna buy it in a day. So we'd go, like if we were going to go play in Detroit. Well, then, if we played there on a Saturday, we'd wait there until Sunday and we'd go find a park, anywhere, and hope that we had enough money to rent, beg, borrow, or steal a generator or find a plug-in somewhere in a park. And we'd set up and start playing. And we did this everywhere we went. Everywhere. In 1970, we worked 306 nights. And if you want to know how we made it, that's how we did it.
Song is in the Jackson way.
People, can you feel it? Love is everywhere.
Love is here.
People, can you feel it? Love is everywhere.
Revival from the 50th anniversary box set by the Allman Brothers Band, Trouble No More. That song was written by Dickie Betts and was birthed on the group's second album, Idlewild South. The interplay between Dickie and Dwayne Skydog Allman throughout that album reached dizzying heights. As we head into a short break, Greg's going to tell you how his brother got that nickname.
Wilson Pickett gave him that name. Sky, because he played so high up on the neck. He would slide the bottle up past the fretboard. That was the sky part, and the dog part was he had so many girlfriends, you know. Wilson would say, "You dog, you know."
Hi, this is Greg Allman with the Allman Brothers Band. Don't touch your dial, and it ain't over yet.
Here's a partial list of things you cannot do with our brand new app. Number 411, it will not fry an egg. It does all kinds of other really cool stuff. Download it today from your app store. Search for 92.9 WBPM.
Welcome back to our nationwide celebration of the Allman Brothers Band's 50th anniversary and our all-access look at the new career-spanning box set, Trouble No More. On March 12th and 13th, 1971, the Allman Brothers recorded their concerts at New York City's Fillmore East. The resulting album that dropped in July of that year is considered by many to be the best live album ever.
When bands start to play, man, they just play live, man. Consequently, our next album will be, for the most part, a lot of live recording, man, to get some of that natural fire and stuff on it. Of course, the spontaneity of the other music, is a lot of it, you know, just comes, there's rough arrangements, rough layouts of the songs, and then the solos are entirely up to each member of the band, you know, that play. It's the naturalness of spur-of-the-moment type of thing that is what I consider the valuable asset of our band, you know. In making records, you can't just do it over and over and over, you know, if somebody makes a mistake. And plus the pressure of the machines and stuff in the studio, you know, makes you kind of nervous and everything. So a live album, I'm sure, would probably be the best thing. And our next one will be, like I said, for the most part, live.
Wake up, mama. Turn your lamp down low. Down from your door. I woke up this morning to hear them Statesboro blues. I woke up this morning to hear them Statesboro blues.
Thank you.
Blind Willie McTell's Statesboro Blues came scorching off of the Allman Brothers Band at the Fillmore East initially. Now you can get it on the new 5-disc compilation, Trouble No More. Just as the Allman Brothers broke through with their At the Fillmore East album, tragedy struck as Dwayne Allman was fatally injured in a motorcycle crash in Macon, Georgia on October 29th, 1971. Dickie Betts and Butch Trucks.
I think that was the first feeling that all of us had. Well, you know, it's over as far as this music is concerned. And we're trying to console each other in the days preceding the services. And the best way we could find to do it was to play music. And so one thing led to another, and we slowly realized that that was the best thing we could do was stay together and continue on. There was so much creative power in that group that that's the only way we were able to continue on without Dwayne.
Initially, we were going to take 6 months off, try and get over it, you know, or come to grips with it or whatever. And after about a month, we were just slowly going crazy, trying to deal with this. And I think after about 6 weeks, we had to hit the road again. I mean, playing was the only way we could get out, you know, vent the emotions.
Greg Allman.
And then the next thing was Eat a Peach, and we got three sides into that, and then Dwayne had the accident. And that was a rough period then. And I remember I was wearing size 26-inch waist pants. Oh, that was rough. I'm pretty sure I had never heard Dickie Betts, or I'd never seen him pick up a slide piece at all. And we had a Boeing 707 then, that plane. And he learned to play slide on the way to Miami from Macon, which just baffled me because he played it on Melissa. And on the way down there on the plane, I wrote Ain't Wasting Time No More. And he wrote Libre's in A Minor. And Melissa was my brother's favorite song that I'd ever written.
Crossroads, same to come and go. Melissa, freight train, each car looks the same.
the gorgeous Melissa, which you first heard off the Eat a Peach album. Hear that now in pristine sound quality on the new Trouble No More 5-decade and 5-CD retrospective. Drugs break up the band, but passing years bring them back together for another couple of triumphant decades, when All Access hits the airwaves and the internet again in a few minutes. As we go to break this time, let's hear Greg tell you about the origins of the band's fourth album title.
My brother came up with the title, I think. It was Eat a Peach for Peace, you know?
You're listening to 92.9 WBPM.
Now you're talking.
Thanks for returning for the final segment of our nationwide celebration. This is the Allman Brothers Band's Trouble No More All Access. I'm Dan Neer. On November 11th, 1972, just three blocks from where Duane Allman met his end, Barry Oakley was involved in a motorcycle accident. The beloved bassist was driving around a sharp bend in the road when he crossed the line and collided with a city bus coming from the opposite direction. Like Duane, he was thrown from his bike, and he died at the age of 24 3 hours later. The band had already started work on their follow-up to Eat a Peach and had already decided instead of trying to replace Duane's now legendary guitar playing with another guitarist, they would invite pianist Chuck Lavelle to join the group.
I was called in to play on Greg Allman's first solo record, Laid Back, and we proceeded with that recording, and it went really, really well. And then after hours, there would be these jam sessions when the rest of the Allman Brothers would come down, J-Mo and Barry Oakley, who was still alive at the time. Butch Trucks on drums as well, and of course Dickie Betts, and we would just have these jam sessions, pick a key and go, you know. And it started developing into something, and so I guess 2 or 3 weeks after this was going on, I get a call from Phil Walden, the band's manager, and said, I'd like to speak to you in my office. And I thought, well, what have I done wrong? And you have to appreciate I was barely 20 years old at the time. I walked in, and there's all the members of the band, and a few pleasantries go down, and then the shoe dropped, you know. Would you like to join the Allman Brothers? Yes, I would.
With Chuck on board, the band then brought in bassist Lamar Williams to fill the big shoes of Barry Oakley. Dickie Betts became the band's much-needed leader at the time. He wrote most of Brothers and Sisters, including the album's huge hit, Rambling Man. Here's Dickie and Butch Trucks.
Well, it was the biggest single we ever had. It's always funny to me because it's the one song I didn't think we should do. And
I think originally we were going to do that as a demo from Merle Haggard.
I was thinking real Nashville about it when I wrote it. I think it was a song that the common, everyday person could relate to. It seems to be a fantasy that everybody has, wanting to just pick up and travel and go when they feel like it, which not too many of us can do. And this song had that idea. And I think it related to the working man, trying to make a living and doing the best I can.
Great line.
and the song, it's one of those songs that was written like it wasn't thought out for a long period of time. It was an idea that I had carried around in the back of my mind, and then when it got time to write it down, it was 15 minutes and it came out. And there was not a lot of reworking the lyrics and that sort of thing.
Lord, I was born. And I
the Allman Brothers Band's biggest hit, climbing to number two on the pop charts, Ramblin' Man. The brothers' new lineup, including Chuck Lavelle and bassist Lamar Williams, then did what they'd love to do most. They hit the road with a vengeance, playing their largest shows ever. Sadly, they got heavier and heavier into drugs, their performances suffered, and it eventually tore the band apart. They disbanded in 1976, reformed in 1978, and even though they recorded a few more records, industry forces pushed them away from their natural sound, and the results were uneven. The Allman Brothers Band broke up again in 1982. All of the members got involved in solo work or other bands until 1989, when they put their collective toes in the water about reforming around their 20th anniversary. Dickie Betts brought in a young buck on guitar that he had been playing with by the name of Warren Haynes.
They brought me into the songwriting circle, which was great. And one of the things that I realized, because I was a huge Allman Brothers fan, always was, but most bands that someone like myself would have an opportunity to join that you grew up listening to don't need everyone in the band to be equal. But the Allman Brothers kind of does. That band needs every member to be contributing 100% because that's the way the band started. And to do anything less would be to sell short the original vision of the band.
They recorded a new studio album in 1990 called Seven Turns that was considered a return to form. Johnny Lee Johnson, a.k.a. J-Mo, on the Allman Brothers' state of mind at the time.
It's a lot more mature. It's a matter of a lot of years. You learn how to pick up a handful of gravel and shake the dirt, the rocks out, and you come to the goal. And that's about as simple as I can put it. We played some great music at the Fillmore. But the music is much greater today because when we cut those records and stuff, I was 24 years old when we did that stuff. And it's easier now than it was then because I've learned how to reach in and get the gold and not bother picking up the sand and the rocks.
The band performed 87 shows in 1991, 77 the following year. Another excellent album, Shades of Two Worlds, was released in 1992, followed by a live album from their run of shows in New York City's Beacon Theater. Those shows became an annual rite of spring in New York City. But tension started up within the group again, this time centering around Dickie Betts. The Allman Brothers' 11th studio album, 1994's Where It All Begins, featured a Warren Haynes-penned fan and concert favorite, Soulshine, and no one left to run with. The tensions escalated until Dickie Betts and the Allman Brothers Band parted ways permanently in the year 2000. The band, however, continued and expanded their legacy until their final show at the Beacon Theater in 2014. Warren Haynes.
We had been playing consistently good. That lineup for 14 years played great all the time. But that was us at the top of our game for that particular unit. And every year to be able to keep going and expand on what you're doing. You know, that band had a great chemistry from the first time we played together, as did the band with myself and Woody, and as did obviously the first band. But it's what you do with that chemistry, where you take it. And you see the progress, like the next year it's even better, and the year after that it's even better. And that was the thing that was so tragic about the band losing Dwayne and Barry, was that they were just starting. As amazing as Fillmore East was, it was only going to get better and better and better.
Everybody wants to know where Jimmy has gone. He left town, I doubt if he's coming back home. Well, Tony got a job, three kids and a lovely wife, working in the Commerce Bank for the rest of his life.
No One to Run With is included on the new Allman Brothers Band box set, Trouble No More. The brothers released more live albums through the years and their final studio album, Hittin' the Note, in 2003. They are all represented on the new collection. The group sold out all 238 shows at the Beacon Theater and did their final epic and spectacular show there on October the 28th. Sadly, Butch Trux took his own life on January 24th, 2017, and Greg Allman passed away from liver cancer on May 27th of that year. As another way of celebrating the Allman Brothers Band's 50-year legacy, J-Mo, Warren Haynes, Derek Trux, Mark Quinones, Oteil Burbridge with Dwayne Trux and Reese Winans, and special guest Chuck Labelle will play a sold-out show at New York City's Madison Square Garden on March the 10th as the brothers. Warren Haynes.
We all got a call from J-Mo saying we need to do something for the 50th. And he was the instigator. Of course, that's all it took, is hearing from him that he thought it should happen. And so the wheels started spinning. We started talking and putting it in the planning stages, you know. But as someone said, you only get one 50th. So it is a big deal. And I'm sure we were all hoping that the band would still be around to play. But with that not being the case, this is a good way to pay tribute to what they did. When I say they, I mean, I know speaking for Derek and myself, we always felt like we were just trying to honor the original band, which we both love so much, you know. Yeah, you know, I think the spirits are going to be high that night. It's, there's going to be a lot going on in the garden.
Dwayne and Greg Allman, Barry Oakley, and Butch Trux are not gone because they left behind such wonderful music. Every time someone plays it, they come back alive. And there will be more archival releases to come. The Allman Brothers Band Trouble No More, the 50th Anniversary Collection, comes as a 5-CD or a 10-LP box set, or digitally, collecting a half century of classics, live performances, rarities, and 7 previously unreleased tracks. It's available wherever you get music. The Allman Brothers Band Trouble No More All Access was produced in New York and New Jersey by Near Perfect Productions for Island Mercury UME, all rights reserved. No portion may be reproduced without the written permission of the producers. Special thanks to Bert Holman, Jason Bau of Hardhead Management, and Jamie Hartley of UME Entertainment. I'm Dan Neer.
My name's Dwayne Allman.
Hi, this is Greg Allman.
Hi, this is Butch Trux.
This is J-Mo.
And I'm Warren Haynes. Thanks for listening.